So today's daf is Yuma Daf Nun Aleph. We left off on the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Beis. We started to discuss about the power of the Kohen Gadol, whether the power of the Kohen Gadol can be Osa Tamura. The general rule is that a carbon of a Yachid can be Osa Tamura. Tamura can take effect on a carbon of a Yachid, but not on a carbon of Shutfin, and certainly not on a carbon Tzibur. So the question we discussed prior to whether it's Osa Tamura is whether it's a carbon Yachid or a carbon Tzibur. So the Gemara had brought as a Raya in this discussion a Brisa or a Tosefta that said that there are certain Chumras that a Zevach has over Tamura and certain Chumras that Tamura has over a Zevach. And the Gemara tried to identify which Zevach we had in mind when we said that a Zevach has Chumras over a Tamura. So the Gemara in today's daf at the beginning is just going to continue that conversation and it's going to discuss why Tamura is, when we refer to Tamura in that Brisa, it's not referring to a specific tamura, it's referring to shame tamura in general. But when that brisa refers to zevach, it's referring to a specific zevach, a specific karban that we have in mind. That's going to be the first discussion on the daf. Then the Gemara is going to discuss, go back to a conversation we had in daf Nun Amud Aleph about karban chagiga and karban pesach, where the Gemara assumes that a karban chagiga, the Gemara assumes in the context of discussing the rules of a carbon sibor versus a carbon yachid, the Gemara assumes that a carbon pesach is a carbon yachid and a carbon chagiga is a carbon sibor, even though both of them have to be brought by all of Klal Yisrael on Yantif. So why would one be a carbon yachid, one be a carbon sibor? So our Gemara is going to discuss that as well. The Gemara is then going to discuss whether pesach sheni can be brought betumah or not be brought betumah. On Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the kapara that the other kohanim get with the power of the Kohen Gadol, whether that kapara comes as a primary kapara, or it's just a leftover after the ikur kapara is for the Kohen Gadol, but it's just beknufya that the kapara spills over to the rest of the Kohanim. And then on the Mishnah, on Amud Beis, the Mishnah is going to discuss how many curtains there were between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Was it one paroches or two parochos? And the Gemara is going to discuss the route that the Kohen Gadol would take when he would walk through the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Would he walk along the right side, along the left side, in between which of the Kelim that were located in the Heichal would the Kohen Gadol walk to get into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? But again, we are holding toward the bottom of Daf Nun Amud Beis, just to chazer over right in the middle of a conversation. The Gemara had brought a Braisa that said that there are certain chumras that a zevach has over a tamura, and certain chumras that a tamura has over a zevach. A zevach has chumras in that it's noeg biyachid kibitzibur, it's docha shabbos, it's docha tuma. A zevach can make a tamura; you can exchange, not allowed to, but it has the ability for tamura to be chal on a zevach. Whereas tamura doesn't have any of those things, and tamura has certain chumras because it could be chal on an animal that has a mum kavua, and it could never be yotzei l'chulin to be shorn and to be worked with, as opposed to zevach doesn't have any of those halachas. So the Gemara said, well, what type of zevach are we talking about? So we suggested that we must be talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol, and it's docha shabbos, docha tuma, and that's the zevach that we're referring to. So you see that, and we say that it's osa tamura. So why is it osa tamura? Because it's a carbon yachid. A carbon yachid is osa tamura. So it must be that the par of the Kohen Gadol is a carbon yachid. It must be that the power of Kohen Gadol is also Tamura. So Rav Sheshet said, no, that's not the Zevach we're talking about. We're not talking about the power of the Kohen Gadol. We're talking about the Ayalo Shel Aharon. And it has to be that way, because it says that if you're going to say that it's the power of the Kohen Gadol, so the implication is that the Tamura would not be able to be brought on Shabbos and Yantif, but on a weekday it would be able to be brought. But that wouldn't be true of the Tamura of the power of the Kohen Gadol, because it's a Tamura's Chatas, and the Tamura's Chatas is the Misa Azla. So it's got to be that we're talking about the Ayil of Aaron. So says the Gemara, wait a second, maybe really it is talking about the par. And when it says tamura, it doesn't refer to the tamura of this animal, it refers to tamura in general. So what's the brisa contrasting? It's contrasting a specific zevach, namely the part of the Kohen Gadol, with the concept of tamura with animals that are switched in for karbanos, but not a specific tamura, the tamura of the par. It's referring to a specific zevach contrasted with tamura in general. So five lines from the bottom, ihachi zevach nami, shame zevach. Well, if you're going to say that tamura is just shame tamura, it's referring to the concept of tamura in general. Well, shouldn't we say the same thing about zevach? What would lead us to believe that zevach is a specific karban and not just karbanos in general? Says Gemara, shame zevach lo katani. No, it doesn't say shame. It's talking about Ezevach. How do I know that it's talking about Ezevach in particular? From the fact that it says explicitly, that the certain chumra that Tamura has over Zevach is that Tamura could be chal on an animal that's a balmum, and Tamura is never yotzei l'chulin to be shorn and to be worked with. Now, if you're going to say that Zevach just refers to karbanos in general, is it true that no karbanos in general have these qualities? Is this really a chumra of Tamura over all karbanos, or is it only a chumra of tamura over a specific karban? V'isal kadaitach my zevach shem zevach. If you assume that zevach means all karbanos in general, v'yika bechar u'maiser dechalan al balmum kavua ve'ein yotzim l'chulin l'gazul aved. Bechar and maiser can be chal on a balmum kavua. So how can you say that the defining difference between a tamura and a zevach is that shem tamura is able to be chal on a balmum, but a zevach, that can't happen for a balmum? That's not true. If zevach refers to karbanos in general, there are karbanos that the kedusha could be chal on a balmum, namely Bukhar and Meiser could be chal on a balmum. Elamai, it must be that we're referring to a specific zevach, like the part of the Kohen Gadol, whose kedusha cannot be chal on a balmum. Why taka can a Bukhar and Meiser be chal? Can the kedusha of Bukhar and Meiser be chal on a balmum? Well, Bukhar is obvious, because Bukhar, you don't decide which animal of yours is a Bukhar. It's not something that a person chooses. The animal is born. It's a Bukhar. So if it's a balmum, there is no pidyon, but it's a Bukhar. It has kedusha. By Meiser Behema also, the Pasuk says, Lo Yivaker Bin Tov L'ra. How does one choose Meiser Behema? You don't go and pick the weakest animals or the strongest animals if you want to be generous. It's not the way it works. You put all the animals into the pen and you open up a narrow passageway and they start coming out one by one and you count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th one is Meiser Behema. And Viter, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The 10th one is Meiser Behema. That's the word we always like to say over B'Shem Rav Pam. Rav Pam used to, I think he said B'Shem Chavetz Chaim, maybe, that why is it that we have to do it that way, that you count it out? Well, just if you, I know I have 100 animals that were born to my flock this year, so I'll give 10. I'll give 10 to Meiser Behema. What do I need to count it out? So he says it's all about the attitude. If you were to just take 100 animals, and you had to give, if you have 100 animals, you had to give 10, so what would go through a person's mind? I have to give 10 animals to Meister Behema? Judaism is so expensive. I have to give up all this, all of my hard-earned flock. But what do we make you do? You count out 1 for me, 2 for me, 3 for me, 4 for me, 5 for me, 6 for me, 7 for me, 8 for me, 9 for me. Okay, 1 for Meister Behema. Then it's a lot easier to handle after you go through psychologically how you go through 1, you count 1 through 9. That's really for yourself. But that's the way Meister Behema... That's the way Meiser Behema works. It's interesting, Tosfos on the bottom of Nunum Beis raises the question that another difference between Tamur and Zevach that the Braisa never identified in Tos Dibur Maskel Chomer. He says, Amaylo Chashiv Shatmur Chal Afilu B'taos. Why don't we say that Tamur is Chal even B'taos, even if it's done mistakenly? Damar Yihiyah, L'Rabu Shogeg Kamezid, even if you did it B'taos, even if you did it B'shogeg. Mashen Kein B'Zevach. You don't have that by a Zevach. Zevach is not going to be chal b'taus. The hegdish taus say no hegdish. If you're makdish something b'taus, it does not become hegdish. Both zevach shadoch shabbos tuma. But then Tosus points out, but there is one zevach that is chal b'taus. Which zevach is chal b'taus? Meiser Behema. Meiser Behema is the example where if you count out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 9. So if you mess up the numbers and you count the 9th one as 10 and the 10th one as 9 and then the 11th one as 10, so then all three are kadosh. All three have have kedushas ma'isu behema. So that's an exception to the to'us rule. That's an example of a zevach that could even be chal b'to'us. It's actually, I was just learning with my children last night, so it's a dafyomic coincidence for me, I guess, that in the fifth parak of Nazir, there's a machlokas tanoim whether we would actually say by ma'isu behema that it's chal b'to'us. It's a machlokas whether hekdush b'to'us is chal or not, whether hekdush b'to'us is hekdush or not. And one of the rayas is from ma'isu behema. So why would you say it's not chal b'to'us? Everyone agrees that if you count the ninth one as 10, the 10th one is 9, and the 11th one is 10, everyone agrees they're all kadosh. So apparently it does work b'to'us. So no, the counterpoint is, what if you count the 8th one as 10? Or the 12th one is 10. Is that Kadosh? So the assumption is that's not Kadosh, that the Torah has a special Gzeres HaKosev, that the 9th one is close enough to 10, the 11th one is close enough to 10, that the Kedusha could be Chal if you mess it up. But the 8th one? It's never going to have the Kedusha. The 12th one can never have the Kedusha. That's a Machlokas Tanayim, whether it's actually Chal B'Tos or not. But anyway, that's how we know that we're talking about a Shem Zevach. El Shem Zevach Lo Katani. We're not talking about a Shem Zevach, we're talking about a specific Zevach. We're not talking about the concept of Zevach in general, because if we were talking about the concept of Zevach in general, we would never be able to say that there's no Kedusha on a Balmum. The concept of Zevach, there is Kedusha on a Balmum, because Bechor and Meiser have Kedusha even on the Kedusha. Bechor and Meiser could be Chal even on a Balmum. But frankly, Gemara, Maishna, it's such a strange thing to contrast. We're contrasting Zevach, a specific Zevach, with Temura in general. If you want to contrast Zevach with Temura, either contrast the concept of Zevach in general, the concept of Temura in general, or contrast a specific Zevach with the Temura of that same specific Zevach. Why would we distinguish in this way? So Maishna, as Rashi said, Delinko, Tana, Milse, Betray, Gavni, that the Tana is going to have two different topics that it's contrasting with each other. So says the Gemara, Temura, Shem Temura, Achasi. The reason that it does it is because Temura has all the same rules for all Temuras. There is no distinction in the halacha between one Temura and the next. Therefore, we refer to all Temura as one and the same. As Rashi says, with all of the issues we're discussing over here, all tumuros are the same. Bitzibur, ubidchias Shabbos, uba asiyas tumura, uba giza, uba avoda. All of these halachos are the same for every single tumura. But zevach, the Gemara goes on, ika bechor v'ika meiser. Zeva, different zvachim have different rules. For example, Bechor Meiser could be Chal on a Balmum, whereas the other Kedushos, the other Karbanos, cannot be Chal on a Balmum. So that's why we must be referring to a specific Zevach, whereas by Temura, we put it all in a general category of Shem Temura Achas. That's how Rashi understands, that's how the Ritva understands the sign of the Gemara. The Rabbeinu Eliakim understands a little differently. He says the reason that Zevach, that we have to be referring to a specific Zevach, is because there are so many types of Zevachim. There's Ola, there's Shlomim, there's Chatas, there's Ash, and each of these different types of zvachim have their own halachos. They can't be included in one category called zevach. So it's more mistaver that the Braisa was referring to a specific zevach. As opposed to temura, the temura of every single one of these karbanos is called Temura. So since it's all done in the shame, it's in the, by Zevach, there's no shame Zevach. No such thing as shame. Every carbon has its own name. By Temura, every carbon, no matter what carbon it was a Temura for, they're all called Temura. That's how he understands it. So that's how he understands the Gemara's point over here. Not like Rashi said, the point that Gemara is trying to make is that all of the halachos that we happen to discuss in the Braisa are the same for every Temura, whereas the halachos are not the same for every Zevach. No, just in general, that every Zevach has its own title, has its own name, whereas Temura is one big title for every kind of Temura. So Rabbeinu Peretz asks on that sheet of Rabbeinu Eliakim, he said, if that's the case, then why does the Gemara say, oh, Zevach, he can't say it's Shem Zevach, because Ika Bechor, Ika Meiser. It should have said Ika Ola, Ika Shlamim, Ika Asham, Ika Chatas. Why does it Dafka Bechor and Meiser? Those are the two categories of Zevach that you think of first. No, what's unique about Bechor and Meiser? It fits a lot better with Rashi. What's unique about Bechor and Meiser is that they can be Chal on a Balmum, which specifically specifically relates to the halachos in that braisa. If you just wanted to say, oh, there are so many different types of karbanos, so why identify b'chor ma'isa? The truth is, in Rabbeinu Chananel's gear, it says v'yikah shlamim. So Rabbeinu Chananel must have like Rabbeinu Eliakim, that v'yikah shlamim, there's nothing in our braisa that would make shlamim unique, so that would fit in very well to Rabbeinu Eliakim, that we're just pointing out the fact that there's so many different types. So now the Gemara says, well, Rav Sheshes was the one that said that it's talking about the Isle of Aaron, that's the Zevach that we're referring to. So ask Gemara, Rav Sheshes, why don't you say that the Zevach we're referring to is the Karban Pesach? The Dochas HaShabbos Ve'as HaTumah. Karban Pesach is Dochas HaShabbos and is Dochas HaTumah. Ve'osa Tumurin, it could be Osa Tumurin, the Tumur is Chal on it, the Karban Yachari, because it's a Karban Yachari, and that's why it could be Osa Tumurin, because again, the rule is, any Karban Yachari could be Osa Tumurin. So why would you say it's Isle Shal Aaron? Just say it's talking about a Karban Pesach. Says Mar Kasavar ain shochtan a Pesach al yachid. He holds that that's not true. That Karban Pesach. I'm sorry. That it's not true that it's also tamura, because a Karban Pesach can never be shechted for an individual. You always need a minimum of two people registered on a given Karban Pesach, and therefore it's always a Karban Ashutfin, and a Karban Ashutfin doesn't make a tamura. That's why he can't be talking about the Karban Pesach. The Rosh Hashanah just points out, what's the din with Karban Pesach and yachid? Ein shochtin haPesach al yachid. The Rosh Hashanah points out, l'chora, there's a chilik between the shechita of the Pesach and the hakdasha of the behema l'shem Pesach. The shechita can only be done with a group of people. The hakdasha l'chora can be done even by one person. So, and then later on, you'll add more people to register on that Karban Pesach. So, once if an individual could be makdish Karban Pesach, and so why can't it make a tamura? At the time of the Hakdasha, the Tamura is a din in the Hakdasha, it's not a din in the Shechita, so why can't it be Chala Tamura? The Gemara is assuming, no, if you hold that Ein Shechta Pesach Chala Yachid, that an individual can never shech the Karban, you can't shech the Karban Pesach for only one owner, so it must be that it's Ein Osa Tamura. Is Tamura a din in the Shechita? Tamura is a din in the Kedusha of the animal. The Kedusha could happen with only one owner, so maybe we should say that it should be able to make a tamura. It's a very sharp kasha that the Rashash asks. So in the Tel Torah, Meir Arik writes that since the carbon is not going to be kasher unless we're mitstarif other menuyim, unless we put other people on the other people to register on that carbon Pesach, the kashrus of the carbon is tali va'omed. It's like breira. It's the original kedusha of the animal is not huvrar to be actually kadosh until we verify that there are other people included on this animal. So even when other people are included, it's not that they're included later on. When they're included later on, it's Huvra Adavul Mafreya that they were there the entire time. And therefore it is something that the Kedusha was, that's Bishutfus at the very beginning. The Chazanish in Tamura Simlam Neosid Beis suggests differently. He says that the Brisa says that Doch Hashab Zutuma means Bishas HaKrava. So it sounds like it's also Tamura is also Bishas HaKrava. When we say it's Doch Hashab Zutuma, we're talking about being Makriv on Shabbos, I mean Makriv Betumah. So when it says it's Osa Tamura, it must also mean that it's we're talking about something that's Osa Tamura Bishas HaKrava. Karban Pesach would not be able to be Osa Tamura Bishas HaKrava, because Bishas HaKrava you already have Shutfin. That does not fit with the sheet of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel in yesterday's Daf Hanunim Beis said that Bishas HaKrava the Parash Al Aron is Eino Osa Tamura. The tzad that the Parash Al Aron is Osa Tamura is only before the Shas Vidoy Vahakrava. So that's clearly against Chaznish. Chaznish holds that when the Brice had said that it's also Tamura, it's referring to the Shas HaKrava. That's clearly against Rabbeinu Chananel. So it says, okay, so it can't be talking about the Karban Pesach, because Karban Pesach is a Karban Ashutfin. It's not a Karban Yachid. V'nukmei Pesach Sheni. What about Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni is a Karban Yachid. Says Gemara, mi dachi tuma. Pesach Sheni is not docha tuma, meaning Pesach Sheni cannot be brought b'tuma. That's a machlokas tanaim. Amar le Rav Huna b'rei Rav Shua l'Rava, v'tana maishna Pesach dekari le Karban Yachid, u'maishna chagiga dekari le Karban Sibur. So the Gemara raises the question. If you recall yesterday's daf, we had tried to suggest a rule that every carbon yachid could be brought, cannot be brought b'tumah. Every carbon sibur can be brought b'tumah. So Reb Meir and Reb Yaakov each attacked that rule from a different angle. Rabbi Meir had said in yesterday's daf, "What do you mean that there's a rule that that every carbon yachid cannot be brought b'tumah? The Pari Yom HaKippurim, the Chavite Kohen Gadol, and the carbon Pesach are a carbon yachid, and it can be brought b'tumah. It's docha Shabbos, it's docha tumah. So how can you say every carbon yachid is not brought b'tumah? So what does he do? He identifies Pesach as a carbon yachid. Rabbi Yaakov attacks, and Rabbi Yaakov says, how can you say every carbon sibur can be brought b'tumah? The carbon chagiga is a carbon sibur, and it cannot be brought b'tumah. So they're identifying the carbon chagiga as a carbon sibur, and the carbon Pesach as a carbon yachid. The Gemara just simply asks, why? Both of those karbanos have very similar characteristics in terms of who brings them. See, normally a karban yachid is, I decide, I'm bringing an olas nedava, shalmin da, I bring a karban chatos, I bring a karban ashram because I'm chayiv to bring. It's a karban yachid because it's mine and no one else is doing it and no one else has the chiv, no one else is volunteering. It's my karban, that's a karban yachid. Karban sibur is the karban tamid. The whole klal, karban musaf, the whole klal yisrael is represented by one animal. Both the Karban Pesach and Karban Chagiga are not like either of those. They're somewhere in between. They fall somewhere in between. Because everybody's doing it, but they're not all doing one animal together. It's everyone's doing at the same time. Everyone's bringing their Karban Pesach. Everyone's bringing their Karban Chagiga. So it's not exactly like a Karban Yachid because everybody's involved, nor is it exactly like a Karban Sibur because each person is doing their own. It's not everybody joined together on an individual animal. So why would we classify Karban Pesach and Karban Chagiga as different from each other? They're both done exactly the same way. So that's the Gemara's Kasha. Maishna Pesach, the Karile Karban Yachid. Why would we call a Karban Pesach a Karban Yachid? Umaishna Chagiga, the Karile Karban Sibur. And why would we call a Karban Chagiga a Karban Sibur? Imishim Da'asi Beknufya, Pesach Nami Asi Beknufya. If you're going to say, oh, the Chagiga is a Karban Sibur because it's Ba Beknufya, all of Klal Yisrael brings it at the same time, well, Karban Pesach is also Ba Beknufya, all of Klal Yisrael brings it at the same time. If that's enough to make it a carbon sibur, so good, let that make it a carbon sibur. When Rav Gigi from Gush was here last year, he said that he pointed out from many gemaras, with many rayas from Maseches Pesachim, that what carbon pesach clearly is something in between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibur on a certain level. Carbon pesach, because it's the transition of Klal Yisrael being a bunch of Jews who happened to be slaves in Mitzrayim to becoming an Am. That was the carbon that defined that difference of a bunch of Yechidim becoming an Am. And therefore the carbon itself sort of straddles the line between carbon yachid and carbon sibur. A very fascinating concept. But anyway, says the Gemara, Ika Pesach Sheni Delawasi Beknufya. Not every carbon Pesach is brought in with such mass amounts of people. Pesach Sheni is Lawasi Beknufya. Pesach Sheni is brought just by individuals who happen to have been Tamei or Bederech Rechoka by Pesach Rishon. So they bring Pesach Sheni. Amarlei Imkein Yedochas HaShabbos HaTumah. Well then, if that's the case, it should... How could it be docha Shabbos and Tumah? If it's a carbon yachid, then why should it ever be docha Shabbos and Tumah? I'm laying commandiyamar dachi, that we're assuming, like the Shita, that it is docha Shabbos and Tumah. The Tanya, Pesach Sheni docha Shabbos, Veinu docha Tumah. We have a brisa that records a machlokas whether Pesach Sheni is docha Shabbos and Tumah. The first Shita is that it's docha Shabbos but not Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af docha Tumah. Rabbi Yehuda says, Pesach Sheni can even be brought b'tumah. My time with the Tanakama, why is it that the Tanakama holds that Pesach Sheni cannot be brought b'tumah? Amalach mipnei tumah dechisu v'yase b'tumah. How did you get to Pesach Sheni in the first place? You're only bringing a Pesach Sheni because you had a tumah problem. So since you're only bringing a Pesach Sheni because there was a tumah issue in the first place, now you're going to allow it to be brought b'tumah? If the whole reason you had it was only because you had a tumah problem in the first place, meaning that's why you didn't do Pesach Rishon, because you couldn't allow it to be done b'tumah. So now you're going to bring a b'tumah on Pesach Sheni? So that's the svara for the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Amar Krab, Kuchol Chukas HaPesach Yasu Oso, that it should be treated with all the halachos of a Karban Pesach, Vafilu B'tumah. And therefore, just like a Tzibur that's Tameh brings Pesach Rishon B'tumah, so too, if a person is Tameh, he could still bring Pesach Sheni B'tumah. There's still such a concept of Pesach Sheni being brought B'tumah. HaTorah Zira Lavla Asosu B'tara. And what the Torah is telling us is that really, ideally, you should bring Karban Pesach B'tara. So Pesach Rishon, if you are Tameh, you can't bring it as an individual. If an individual is Tameh, that individual cannot bring Pesach Rishon because he should really do his best to try to bring Karban Pesach B'tara. Comes along Pesach Sheni and he's still not Tahar, so Lo Zacha, Yasenu B'tumah. So then, okay, last chance. So there's a last-ditch effort, so then we're going to do it B'tumah, rather than to not do it at all. Says the Gemara, v'tepikli ta'asher lo amar afmana mishalo hu mevi. So the Gemara says, this goes back to the question that we asked, that we mentioned on yesterday's daf. When we know that the par of the Kohen Gadol brings in Yom Kippurim definitely achieves kapara for him, and it achieves kapara for the other Kohanim as well. The question is, what is the mechanism through which it achieves kapara for the other Kohanim? Is it that it achieves kapara for all of Shevet Kohuna? It's a carbon of all of Shevet Kohuna, so it achieves kapara for all Kohanim? Or no? Maybe it's primarily the Kohen Gadol's carbon. It achieves kapara for him. Elamai, there's a spillover effect, that once it's achieving kapara for him, b'knufya, it also spills over, the kapara spills over to the other Kohanim as well. That was the shaila that we had in yesterday's daf. So the Gemara says, maybe we could be poshate that shaila from the pasuk. Pasuk says, asher lo. Pasuk describes, hikrav ha-kohen as parachatas, asher lo, v'chiper ba'ado v'ad beso. That it's got to be his animal, it has to be his par that's brought. So v'tebukli da'asher lo amrachmana, mishalohu mevi. And that tells me that it's got to be brought from his money. So shouldn't that tell you that it's really his karban, and therefore it really achieves his kapara, and the fact that it achieves kapara for everybody else, that's incidental. That's the overflow kapara that happens to go to all the other Kohanim. But really, it's his kapara. Where do we find that asher lo means that he has to pay for it with his own money, that it has to be from his possessions? The Tanya, the Brisa says, asher lo, mishalohu mevi velo mishal tzibur. He brings mishalo, but not mishal tzibur. Cannot come from communal funds. Yachalo yavi mishal tzibur, shein tzibur mischaprin bo, aval yavi mishalach avakanim, shayach avakanim mischaprin bo. So one might have thought, of course he can't use communal funds, because it doesn't even affect the community. This carbon doesn't help the tzibur. But maybe he's allowed to use funds that are collected from other Kohanim, because it does affect other Kohanim. All the other Kohanim are going to get kapara with it. So maybe their money can go to pay for this par. Tamalomar, asher lo. That's why the pasuk says no. Asher lo. It has to be from his personal money. It cannot come from the money of the other Kohanim. Yachlo yavi v'mehevi kasher. So I might have thought, okay, it can't come from money from other Kohanim. Lichatchila. But if another Kohen goes and volunteers and buys the animal, pays for it, so it's still a kasher karban, tamalom arshuv, asher lo. That's why the Torah says it three times. Asher lo to tell me it can't come from the money of the tzibur. Asher lo that even lechatchila can't come from the money of the other Kohanim. And a third asher lo that even b'diyeved it can't come from the money of other Kohanim. Shana lo v'kosav la'akev. Like by all kachim, we needed to repeat it in order to tell us that it's ma'akev. But bottom line is, we see that it has to come from his personal money, from his personal funds. Doesn't that tell you that it's his karban and it's not the karban of the other Kohanim, and their kapara is only achieved b'knufya, their kapara is only achieved as a spillover effect, but it's not really their karban? Says the Gemara, l'temech, if that's the case, achav ha-kohanim ilav dekonu b'gavehech mechapalu afilu b'knufya af b'kufya rather. And how could get a kapara with it if they don't pay anything for it? Well, how do they even get a kapara even with the spillover effect, as the Bach adds it? How could they get any kapara at all? It's not theirs. It's not theirs at all. They paid nothing for it. Zero. So how should they get any kapara for it? So it says Gemara, El Shaini Be'gaz of the Aaron, the Afkar Rachmana, Gabi Achav HaKohanim. So it must be that the ownership rights of Aaron, the Torah itself, has been sort of mafkir his nechasim. It's like a hefker bezin hefker, except it's the Torah that's doing it, where the Torah says that there's a din that he has to pay for it with his own money. He has to suffer the financial loss in paying for it, but the ownership of the carbon in some way is shared with the other Kohanim. So if that's the case, if that's what we're going to say in order for the other Kohanim to get any sort of kapara with it, well, maybe that's the way we could look at it in terms of Temura as well. Maybe it's not also Temura. Even though it's a carbon yachid, it looks like a carbon yachid because he's paying for it with his own money, but maybe the Torah makes it like a carbon of all of the Kohanim, like a carbon ashutvin that all the Kohanim share together. And once the Torah makes it like that, once the Torah makes it that all of the Kohanim are in it together, so Mela, it's not going to be able to be also Temura. So that shaila of whether the power of the Kohen Gadol is also Temura, which is dependent on whether we view it as a carbon yachid or carbon tzibur, we don't really have a clear answer at the end of the day. We're not really sure. We don't have any strong rayas. Now, it is an interesting halacha, asher lo, that it has to come from his money. How many things have to actually come from your money. Meaning, if someone buys you a lulav and esrog, and you make a kinyan, it's yours. Even when we ask a chassan under the chuppah, did you pay for this ring with your own money? It's not that there's a din he has to pay for it with his own money. It's just that it has to be his. So we're worried that if his parents bought it, so it's not really his. There was never a full gemiras das with a kinyan that it really actually belongs to him, right? So that's the only reason we ask the question. But a din that he has to actually suffer the loss. So do you have such a din? Rav Zilberstein raised the question: do you have such a din by tzedakah? Let's say. He quotes a case that happened. A gadol b'Yisrael wrote a check for 1,000 shekel to tzedakah, and a gvir saw that a gadol b'Yisrael wrote it. He said, and he gave it to the gabbai. Go distribute this money. The gabbai was about to distribute the money, and one of the gvirim, who was a big supporter of this gadol, came and said, he wrote a check for 1,000 shekel. I'll pay you 10,000 shekel for that check. Just have this, so you could frame the check, that this was a check written for tzedakah by this gadol. So he paid 10,000 shekel for that check to go give the 10,000 shekel for tzedakah. Binyamin Pam told me that his grandmother used to go crazy, that every time Rav Pam would write checks, the people would just frame them instead of or save them instead of cash. She couldn't balance the checkbook. It drove her nuts. But so this is what people do. You get a check from, so you're not gonna, it's like you get a check lahavdil from the president. People they keep that check. They don't just deposit that check. So is the gadol mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah? At the end of the day, 10,000 shekel went to tzedakah on his account, but he didn't lose anything for it. Is there a din of asher lo by tzedakah like you would have a din of asher lo over here? So he says there's a similar suffix, the Mishnah Lamelech raised in Hilchos Ishus by an isha chola. Who's a chola masukan? Where the halacha is, if someone's a chola masukan, you could do anything. She's allowed to benefit from isurei ana. So normally, in order to be mekadesh anisha, you're not allowed to be mekadesh anisha with isurei ana because you're not giving her anything of value. She's not getting any ana from it. What if she's a chola masukan? She's allowed to use isurei ana. You can't use it. You have this isurei ana lying around the house. You can't use it for anything because it's also about ana. So you decide you can be mekadesh anisha with it, the isha masukenas. So she'll be able to use it, but you're not going to be able to use it. Is she mekudeshes or not? Is there a din of asher lo by kiddushin that it has to actually, you have to lose, that it's not enough that she gains, but that you have to actually lose something? So Rav Zilberstein suggests that by the first shayla of the gadol ador that's giving the check to tzedakah, he's definitely yotzei his neder, because the ikr mitzvah of tzedakah is that the ani should be mekabel tzedakah. It's not so much that you should lose, is that the ani is de machsoro sheyachsolo, whatever he needs, you have to give him, so as long as he's getting, so you don't have to worry about the rest. That's somewhat of a chiddush. That's not so pasha. The Gemara in Bava Basra records a machlokas between Tanis Rufus HaRasha and Rabbi Akiva, where Tanis Rufus HaRasha says to Rabbi Akiva, "Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zoev Aniyim, if Hashem loves Aniyim so much, why doesn't he just give them money? Why does he have to rely on us to give them money? Let Hashem do it." So Rabbi Akiva says, "No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make Aniyim poor so that because he can't support them, and he doesn't give us a mitzvah of tzedakah so that the Aniyim will be taken care of. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could take care of the aniyim, but he wants us to have the zechus of giving the tzedakah. The tzedakah is really for us, that when we suffer that chisaron, when we're willing to give of ourselves, we're going to be zochel chai olam haba, because of so HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses us as a way of being mezaka us. It has nothing to do with the ani. The ani will get what the ani will get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to determine that the ani is going to. So if you hold like Rabbi Akiva and not like Tanistrophus, it sounds like it is very much a din in us, in our own chisaron. But okay, that's what he assumes in that case, as in the case of the tzedakah. Over here, by the power of the Kohen Gadol, we talk of a din of Asher Lo, that he has to be mafsid the kesef from his own from his own money. Although he suggests that maybe even by the par Yom HaKippurim, it's lav dafka that he has to lose the money, it's just that he has to pay for it. Because we find the Gemara we just had, that the Kohen Gadol dies, if you hold b'par v'afilu b'damosh shel par, the new Kohen Gadol takes over, uses the blood that of the previous Kohen. What did the new Kohen Gadol lose? He didn't lose anything. How could it be that he's bringing in the par? He didn't lose any money. So you see that maybe there is no din that you have to actually lose money. The Torah is mafkir, the par, legabe all the Kohanim, legabe the next Kohen that takes over. So it's not a din that dafka, he has to lose money out of pocket. But okay, that's somewhat of a discussion over here. Okay, new Mishnah now. Says the Mishnah. Now we're going to talk about the Kohen Gadol Gadol's walking through the Heichal into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We already have him with his ketores in hand, with the ash, with the coals rather in hand, the shovel of coals that he got from the Mizbeach, the ketores that he took Moloch Chafnov and he put into a ladle, so that's in his left hand, and now he's got to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how does he go? Hayimahalich beHeichal Shemegil Levin Shteya Parochas. He would go in the Heichal until he gets between the two curtains that separate the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hamavdilos bein Kodesh bein Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's separate between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ubeinehen Amma. There happens to be space of one Amma in between those two curtains. Rabbi Yossi Amar Loi Sasham Ela Parochas Achas Bilvad. Rabbi Yossi says, no, there weren't two curtains, there was one curtain. Shneemar Vivdila HaParochas Lachem bein Kodesh bein Kodesh HaKadoshim. Pasuk says explicitly, there was a Parochas between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So it was only one Parochas. There were no two Parochos between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, the Mishnah in Maseches Tamid in Tamid it says on Daf Chav Tes Amud Beis that the Parochas was one Tefach thick. So if there was one Amma, let's assume two Parochas like Tanakama. If there was one Amma between the two Parochas, so what did you, where did the thickness of the Parochas go? Was it one Amma minus the two Tefachim of each of, you know, of the two Parochas? So the Mefarish over there says, and it's not that each one was one Tefach thick, because then there would only be three tefachim in between, because the whole lama is only five tefachim, and no kohen would be able to walk in that three tefach area. Three tefachim is a very tiny amount of space. So the Mefarish says, "V'lchein nirali k'moshi pirashti." He says, "Therefore, I think it's like I said, but it's unclear what he said." We could look, you look up and down the Mefarish; he doesn't say anything else, so it's unclear what he's talking about. He just doesn't like the idea that each of them are actually one tefach thick. In the Rabbi Yaakov Emden over there, he raises the question of the Mefarish that why can't he walk in three tefachim? Especially curtains are movable. So as he walks in between, so he'll brush up against them and they'll move out a little bit. What's the big deal about why? And besides for that, three tefachim? An amma is not five tefachim, an amma is six tefachim. There's amma's binyan and amma's kelim, but this is amma's binyan. It should be six tefachim, it's not five tefachim. So there's four tefachim to walk in. Four tefachim is plenty of space. Why can't he walk in four tefachim? Now the truth is, the Gemara assumes in Masechta Sukkah that the space that a human being takes up is six tefachim by six tefachim, that a human being takes up in the amma by an amma when a person goes. But a person's not a perfect square, he can walk sideways a little bit maybe. So who says that he needs the full six tefachim?
He's but carrying a lot of stuff.
He is carrying stuff, that's first of all, he is carrying things, and not only that, we said that we're looking for a Kohen Gadol with fat fingers, so we need a Kohen Gadol with fat fingers and a skinny body to get into the four tefach area. So now the Kohen Gadol is it's gonna be a funny looking Kohen Gadol. We're gonna have a hard time finding the right guy to be the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so that's a technical issue in this one amma that's in between. But it's an interesting machlokas whether there's one amma. I mean, whether there's one parochas or two parochas, there's also discussion. The sheet of Tosos that there's a chiv to be mavdil al yidei parochas between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim. And it could be even in the Bais Rishon, even when they had the amatraks, when they had an actual binyan, that there was some sort of requirement for a parochas somewhere over there. That's a major discussion in the Rishon. Rav Chil Michal Feinstein has a whole mahalich where he points out that the yisod of the din of parochas is to be mechasa the aron. It's a din of tznius of the aron, that the aron needs a kisvei. That's the din of parochas. He says the din of covering the aron at during the shas masaos when they traveled in the midbar was different than covering the other kelim. Covering the other kelim is just that's the way you carry kelim by covering them up. The aron, there's a din of tznius of the aron. There's a din of being mechasa an aron. You don't have a din of being mechasa other kelim. So he says that it's implied from Tosos as well. Tosos over here, a little bit later on, is going to discuss the etymology of the word traxin, amma traxin. He says traxin means soger ha'aron, that it closes off the aron. That's the purpose of the parochas, to close off the area of the aron. Now the aron wasn't in the second Beis Hamikdash yet; they still had the parochas, but nevertheless, like it's, I guess to at least block off the area of such kedusha. The Ramban's lashon in Chumash is aval ha'inyan sheyitzavos ha'akasuf sheyasim ha'parochas tachas ha'kras. system, kidei sheyehei ha'aron shama mibeis laparoches, v'tavdi laparoches bein ha'kodesh v'en kodesh ha'kodashim. The implication of the Ramban is that there's tzvei dinim in paroches. It's to cover the aron, and also to be mavdil bein kodesh and the kodesh ha'kodashim. That's where Moshe has a tshuva. They asked Rav Moshe about on Shabbos, let's say you have a paroches that's on aron kodesh, that splits open, you know, it's two pieces that splits open and it has wording on it. So in Hilcha Shabbos, is that a violation of erasing the words every time you open such a paroches? So Rav Moshe goes through why it's not. He doesn't think it's a violation of erasing the words, but he says, who has a double paroches? It's not appropriate. You shouldn't have a paroches that's in two different parts because it's against Minhag Yisrael. The Minhag Yisrael, as we always had, I always remember he said in Russia, we always had one paroches. It was always one piece. It was never two pieces. So that's what, so I remember I was talking to Rav Shechter about it once many years ago, and he said, it's such a strange tshuva because we paskin that the paroches in the Beis HaMikdash was a double paroches. It was two. It wasn't one. It was two curtains that separated between the Kodesh and the Kodesh. So what? It's not the minhag? What do you mean it's not the minhag? That was the original minhag, was the two parochas. So I always thought that was a strange comment, because what does the parochas in the Beis HaMikdash have to do with the parochas on our own Kodesh? It's a totally different din. That's to be mavdil between the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadashim. This is to cover up the Aron. But once I saw this whole Mahalich from the Ramban, the way Rabbi Chaim Michael Feinstein develops it, there are many, many marmakamos that the parochas that divided between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim had a function of covering the Aron. That was the function of the parochas. So the model, the parochas that we have is really, should really be modeled after that parochas. So it is somewhat difficult to say that there is a minhag not to have a double parochas. The parochas in the Beis HaMikdash was in fact a double parochas. Okay, so the Gemara now says as follows. Shapra kamalu Rabbi Yossi the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi seems to have a very good point. And Rabbi Yossi says that it was only one parochas, because after all, the pasuk says, Vivdila ha parochas, one parochas. So Rabbanan Amrilach, the Rabbanan would respond, Hanimili b'mishkan. The pasuk is talking about in the Mishkan. Avav b'mikdash sheni, but in the second Beis HaMikdash, kiven de lahavai amatraxin, they didn't have the amatraxin wall. Meaning in Mikdash Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, it was a wall. It was binyan that separated between, and there was just a doorway in it. But there was binyan. That doorway may have had a paroches, but there was But there was binyan in between the kodesh and the kodesh hakadoshim, and it was an amathik wall. Now the second bias was gadol min arishon, was bigger than the first Beis HaMikdash. So they could not have done binyan because it wouldn't have been stable enough for a one amma wide wall to go 40 amos high in the air. It would never have been stable enough to last. So they couldn't do binyan. They had to do parochas. So mikdash rishon hu davai. It was the amatraxin was in the mikdash rishon only. V'istapkulu l'rabbanan b'kedushase, and the rabbanan weren't sure about the kedusha of that one amma that the amatraxin stood on. Ikilafnim o kalachut. Whether it had a din of Kodesh or it had a din of Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Vavit Shtei Parochas. And therefore they didn't know where to put the Parochas, because the Parochas is much thinner than an Amma. So they didn't know where should they put that Parochas. Should they put it on the outer surface of that Amma or the inner surface of that Amma? So they made two Parochas with the Amma in between. So the Amma is sort of in no man's land because they didn't know how to identify where to put that Amma. That's why they made Shtei Parochas in the second Beis HaMikdash. So Amri Shon raised the question, why didn't they just make an Amma wide paroches, meaning the binyan is not going to stand, but you're hanging a paroches, just make it a thicker paroches. Okay, but they didn't. Tan Rabbanan, Bein HaMizbeach L'Menorah HaMahalik Div Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're going to discuss the path that the Kohen Gadol took when he would walk through the Heichal to get through the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he's walking east to west. And in the Heichal, you have the Shulchan to his right, which is on the northern side of the Heichal, so it's to his right as he's walking. The Menorah to his left, because the Menorah is in the south. And the Mizbeach Hazav, the small Mizbeach, is in the middle, is right in the middle. So where does he walk when he goes toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So Rabbi Yehuda says he goes between the Mizbeach and the Menorah, which is not totally along the wall on the left side, but more to the left than to the right, right? More to the left side of the room than to the right. Rameir says, no, not totally along the wall on the right side of the room, but more to the right, between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach, more on the northern side. Some say between the Shulchan and the Kosel, which means all the way along the wall on the right side of the room, on the northern side of the room. Man Yeshomrim, who are these Yeshomrim? It's assuming like Rabbi Yossi that the entranceway to get in into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the place where he's going to go through the curtains is on the northern side. So he's got to be walking along the northern side so that he'll go straight to where the opening in the curtain is. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lach Pischa B'Darim Kai. Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, the opening is on the southern side, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda has him walking more toward the southern side, so that's where he'll get straight to the opening where he needs to go. For a mayor comes really. What about a mayor? A mayor has him walking along the north, but not direct, not all the way in the north. If you hold the opening was in the north, have him walk all the way in the north. If you hold the opening was in the south, have him walk toward the south. So the old krab yosi sfirle. V'amrlach shulchan osafan v'darim menachin umafskale shulchan v'lomasayle. He held the opening was in the north, but he held that you couldn't walk all along the northern wall because the shulchanos would block off the area and he wouldn't be able to walk straight. Or maybe the shulchanos were running east west. But maybe because of the covet of Shechina, it's not appropriate to just take a straight line. He should walk a little bit out of the way. Rabbi Yossi Amalach and Rabbi Yossi would respond, no, Chavivin Yisrael Shalatzrich Nakasav L'Shliach. Klal Yisrael is so special, we don't need a Shliach. And when we do have a Shliach, he could walk however he wants. So let him walk along the wall. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Nail Ben Menorah L'Kosel. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is he walking between the menorah and the mizbeach? Shouldn't he walk between the menorah and the kosel all the way along the southern wall? I mean, if the entrance is on the southern side, let him walk all along the southern wall. Says Meshachre Mane, the menorah was right next to that wall, so over time that wall will get black from the soot of the menorah, and he's wearing the big day lavan, so he's going to walk right along that wall. His clothing would brush up against the wall and would turn all black. So to keep his clothing clean, we have him walk between the menorah and the mizbeach on the other side. Okay. Oh, yeah.